Welcome to the Iowa Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, it's over-under season. We've already done the Eastern Conference Podcast. If you want to go over and listen to that, we want to let you know that our over-under picks are subject to change between now and the start of the regular season. Matt, let's Western Conference.
Our yogurt Western Conference.
Sure.
Soft. I feel like there is there's even more of a, well, it's weird, right? Because in the West, just generally speaking, you feel like you know seven teams are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you know a handful of ones that you feel pretty good about. But I don't blame most of the teams for having playoff hopes this season. Like, most of their fans, like, I'm just like, no, I can see where you get to the idea that you could sneak into the eight. I get that. Like, I don't think it's ridiculous for any Western Conference team to think, for their fans to think, we could make the playoffs. I think saying we will is too much, but to say we could,
right,
I think is okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I found the West to be much tougher than the Eastern Conference. Just because it's tough because of how top-heavy the conference is. To just figure out, like, how many 60-win teams can there possibly be? How many 55-win teams can there possibly be? You know, there's so much, and you can look at, like, we may have a bunch of teams take huge steps back in win totals this year and still be, like, one of the best teams in the conference. And I feel this was the one that really made me feel like my picks are just stupid. I think there's logic behind them, but I still think they're stupid.
So let's get started.
Let's start with the sadness. It's
they don't see it coming either.
What?
The fans do not see this coming. They think I'm crazy.
The Dallas Mavericks have an over-under of 37, which in theory should be just crazy low.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Williams, like, hasn't practiced? Or he's hurt already? Or he's sore?
Yeah, so let's start there. Darren, picture of health that he always is. On media day, Carlisle said, you know, Darren tweaked his calf. He strained his calf in workouts recently and preseason workouts. He should be fine in a day or so. We expect him back.
Yeah.
That was last Monday. It's now Tuesday when we're recording this. Darren Williams is out in their preseason opener night with a calf strain. Now, if it was a regular season game, maybe he'd play. If it was a playoff game, he'd almost likely play. But it's just like, you realize how you're starting. Like, think about it. This is the best way I thought of it this morning. The Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals were healthier than the Dallas Mavericks are entering preseason.
That's a bad way of looking at it.
I mean, it's
accurate but depressing. And then, I mean, all right, Wes Matthews is out till December?
He's still pushing for the season opener, but he needs to chill out because I'm like, you're just gonna hurt yourself again.
Yeah, that Achilles, like, just let your body heal. Let your body get strong. Chandler Parsons had, like,
minor microfracture.
Minor hybrid microfracture surgery. Which, you know what? Actually, to me, just sounds worse than if you said he had microfracture surgery.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like you're trying to hide anything.
Right. And that's the thing, is they didn't reveal it for months.
Yeah. And I just, man, I don't think they're going to be healthy. And, like, I think Devin Harris is a very capable backup to Darren Williams. Like, I think, you know, like, Dirk, I think, still is capable of carrying a team for a little while, but I just don't think they're going to have the depth. As good of a coach as Carlisle is, as good as Dirk can be, you know, like, they're just relying on some bad players and some unhealthy players. And I just, man, I can't see it. I've got them at 32 wins, and I'm fully prepared for them to go 500 and make that look dumb, but I don't buy in the health.
A lot of it, the response is, yeah, but Carlisle. And I interviewed Rick Carlisle right before the playoffs, and I love talking to him. He's head of the Coaches Association. He's such a smart guy. He plays piano with Bruce Hornsby. He does all this really cool stuff. Like, he's off. I love Rick Carlisle. He's and I think he's a basketball genius. He's one of the best coaches in the league over the last 15 years. Absolutely. He really is. I don't necessarily think he's gotten the most out of his rosters since the 2011 season. I don't think that they've played as good, as well as their talent reflected. in those seasons, with the possible exception maybe of 2014. I just don't think that they've lived up to expectations. Like, I thought they would be better last year. The fact that the defense was so bad last year, that's a problem. I'm going to keep yelling until the cows come home about this thing, the point guards, and he keep clashing, which makes me really nervous about Darren, who's a legendary coach killer. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame of coach killers one day.
He's one of the greatest.
He's one of the greatest of all time. He learned from the best in Jason Kidd, who did not kill Rick Carlisle, so that should be noted. I think of it like this. So they're trying to build basically a bridge to get to wherever they're going next.
Yeah.
And, you know, from everything that happened this summer, from last year's team to the future. And the problem is, for this season, that bridge, the core support is only one column, and it's Dirk. That's the thing that's holding you up, because you can't count on Parsons because he's coming off a knee surgery and he had a really up and down year last year. You can't count on Wes Matthews because he's coming off of Achilles injury, and at his age, those guys just do not have good careers. You can't count on Darren for any number of reasons that you want to put out there, and you can't count on the bench because they gave up all of their depth in the Rondo trade. So your core element is going to be Dirk, and he can't do it anymore. He just can't.
I think it's physically, it's just going to be physically too taxing, and that's going to put him at an injury risk, and his competitiveness is going to drive that, right?
And also, man,
when you're talking about, you know what, John Jenkins has looked really good in training camp, like, you're screwed.
Yeah.
If you're talking yourself into John Jenkins, like, you're screwed. I just don't buy it. Like, maybe Wes is healthier than we think, and maybe Darren Williams ends up being fine enough, and maybe Chandler Parsons' surgery isn't a big deal, and then it makes us look stupid. I would love that, because I don't want them to be injured. I'd love Dirk being on a good team, but man, I'm just not buying it.
It'd be easier for us to just take the over and say they've got a lot of talent, they're going to win enough games, yeah. We believe in the Mavericks. Like, it's easier to do that,
yeah,
because they're established, but I think you and I are in the same place, which is, you know, if you really are going to be honest with yourself, do you think the Mavericks are going to be able to stay healthy enough to win 37 games?
I don't. Yeah.
I have them for 33, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right in the same territory.
But they'll have a lottery pick. They'll keep their pick.
Yeah, their pick's top seven, right?
Yep.
So that's important as well.
Okay, so
Denver Nuggets.
I'm so annoyed about Denver because
I love that that's where you start this off with.
I don't know if I took the over in 2013. I took the over in 2000. I don't know if I took the over in 2014. I took the over in 2015.
Yeah.
Which was not, like, I look back and I'm just like, what were you thinking? Like, you knew all the problems in that locker room. Like, you knew that this was not going to work. And I kept getting back to, there's so much talent. People really get confused. It's one of the weirdest things, I think, is the disparity between how much people think talent was on the Nuggets team last year. And I'm just like, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Ty Lawson, Kenneth Faried, Randy Foy, Jameer Nelson. Like, all the, I go down the list. I'm just like, there is a lot of talent on this roster. Like, there are actual NBA guys that could start on other teams on this roster. Aaron Aflalo, Timofey Mozgov. Like, they had lots of starters. And they were, it just shows you how bad chemistry can be. I have them. This is the Knicks team of the West, appropriately for me. I have them ridiculously over, and I hate it because I cover them. It's like, oh, you're just falling for the local hype, and it's like, I have good reasons, but I also can't dismiss it because I wouldn't be able to recognize that were it the case.
Sure, that's honest.
So tell me what you think.
So I've got them at, or their over under is 26.5. I look at this team, and there's talent. Like, Danilo Gallinari is really good. And I think he's going to be healthy, and I think he's going to be really good. I think Wilson Chandler's really good in his role. I think there are some pitfalls with trusting a rookie point guard the way they will Emmanuel Mudiay. I think individually he will be good. I don't know that he'll have an actual impact on the win-loss total of that team. So because of that, I've got them over at 29 wins. I think they're a team that can win 30 games. I think they're a team that can probably be more competitive than that. It's just, I don't think they're going to play defense, and I think that's going to kill them a lot of nights. But I feel very comfortable in the over.
Guess mine.
Okay. You feel very... Oh, you said they're your Knicks. 37?
Higher.
Oh, boy. Oh, no, Matt. 41?
40.
Okay. All right. We're under 500.
I am finishing one game under 500.
Okay.
So I still got to miss in the playoffs. That's the good news, yeah, right?
That's very...
I didn't go crazy and be like, the Nuggets are going to make the playoffs.
You didn't go, hey, Nuggets are the 3 seed. Deal with it.
Exactly.
That's optimistic. I'll say that. It's very optimistic.
I wrote off-season report, which is coming out Friday, and I just got done with it, and I went really in-depth on it. And there is an embarrassment amongst the veterans about what happened last year. And they don't feel that it accurately portrays who they are as professionals. That goes from, and a lot of that is they had no leadership and bad leadership in certain places. I'm also not going to throw Ty Lawson under the bus because none of these players should have been taking their cues from Ty Lawson. One person told me last year that JJ Hickson was the locker room leader. And like when you're in that point, like you are in the depths of hell.
Yeah.
I think that there are I think Danilo Gallinari is more motivated than he has ever been in his career because he is livid over the assertion that he is done because of his injuries. He is livid over that. There is an anger with Gallo I have not seen in his interviews. He's usually a pretty happy, like, he's Italian, right? Like, life's pretty good. He's an Italian model, so...
I'm just picturing how angry Tom Fornelli is all the time.
Right.
And he's an Italian model.
So Gallo is really mad about that. Wilson Chandler typically goes with whoever his point guard is that he kind of buddies up to. And in the past, that's been some questionable dudes. And now it's Jameer Nelson, who really believes in him and has said, like, I think Wilson Chandler can be a phenomenal player, and he has not tapped into how good he can be.
I agree with that.
Jameer Nelson is going to give them a lot in terms of, one, balancing the floor, because they're going to play a lot of two-guard lineups with both he and Moutier, and developing Moutier and giving him a guy. Like, Moutier is not on an island. They've done a really good job of putting a support system around him to where he's going to feel like he can try and fail, and it'll be okay, and they just want him to get better. They've done a good job of taking the pressure off. There's going to be no local pressure because nobody realizes there's an NBA team in town.
Right.
Yusuf Nurkic.
I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan.
That one's really complicated. I will only say this, that in terms of raw impact, nobody had a better impact on their defense than Yusuf Nurkic. He just made the defense better when he was on the floor. Like, he was just – like, that is a fact, is – when he was on the floor, they were really good. They had a sub-100 defensive efficiency with Nurkic and Farid together.
That's not bad.
Right.
Pretty good.
Jokic looks really good, and I think that he's going to be able to contribute. They like LaVerne a lot. I'm still really iffy on LaVerne.
Kilometers Plumlee.
I'm not...
We got to make this happen. You know I hate nicknames, but I'm really pleased with Kilometers Plumlee.
That's really good. I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
My whole goal is to get that to be on his basketball reference page. That's my only goal for this season. It's got to happen.
The two guys I think are going to have the most breakouts for this team are Gary Harris and Kenneth Faried. I think Harris is going to start the two guard. He's worked a lot on his game. He is an excellent defender right from the start, which is rare for a player that is as young as he is. Malone's going to unleash Kenneth Faried. He's going to tell him, play defense, play good rotations, play smart, get the rebound, and I will get you the ball. And Jameer and Moutier will do the same. Like, they're going to get him the ball. Nick Johnson is going to get some time on this team, and he can play a little bit. Like, you know Nick Johnson. Like, that guy can play.
Yeah.
So there are going to be nights when I think they're going to be atrocious and just get destroyed. But I think there are going to be a lot of nights when they start in a hole, and then you look up in the third quarter, and you're like, the Nuggets are within four here. And they're focused on getting more three-pointers and getting the percentages up, and I'm in on Michael Malone. He's really sold me with everything that he said. And it's not – he says things that, like, you know, it's like whispering sweet nothings in my sports writer ear when he's talking about defensive efficiency and increasing effective field goal percentage by increasing the number of threes and, you know, free throw rate and all of these elements. But he also talks about how this summer – and I followed up with the Nuggets on this – he went to each and every one of them and reached out personally to connect with them and give them a sense that he cares about them as people. And Brian Shaw never did that because Brian Shaw was like, show me that you can win and then I'll give you that. Yeah. But that's not how it works, and that's not a good strategy, and especially not with this team. So, yeah, I think the upside is that they really could be part of something successful. I wouldn't be surprised if they went under. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, like, 29 games and were a train wreck. But I do think that there's at least a very good chance that the Nuggets are going to be interesting this season, and that's a big step up for them.
All right, let's get to the real fun of it. The Golden State Warriors. Over-under of 60.5, they won 67 games in dominant fashion last year.
I got to take a game away from somebody because I have the under right now at 60, and I got to change that.
You know what? I've got the under at 60, and I feel great about it. Well, I wouldn't say great. I feel very iffy about it. But I don't – like, people may – like, they can win 60 games next year, and people will be like, what's wrong with the Warriors? Nothing wrong with them. Nothing. They're just not historically great anymore, and they could still be the best team that wins a championship.
Yeah, and, you know, I think part of it is they can just rest guys more.
Yeah.
Like, last year – I've seen this a lot with these teams that kind of that rise up is they want to see how good they can be.
Yeah.
You know, and then after you do it, you're like, I don't really care. Like, I already did that. Like, we won 67 games last year. I don't need to win 68, you know? Like, and, I'd rather be healthy.
And I don't know how you account for this because I don't think you can expect we just did it with Dallas. But I don't think you can really expect injury to happen. But they were so healthy last year.
Ethan's going to – watch out for Ethan.
Ethan can bite me. We could see an injury, and that could shave off a few wins, you know? And I still have them as the best team in the league at 60 wins. I still think they're the best team in the league. But, yeah, I've got them slightly under, and I feel okay about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll stick with it. You know what? You talked me into it.
Oh, okay.
I'll stick with the Warriors at 60 for the same reasons that you kind of mentioned. That I think they're going to – the injury is probably going to happen. They're not going to play as well. I still have them as number one seed.
Yeah, me too. I literally have the best record in the league.
Just don't let the end. And you also have to account when you're doing the over-under of, like, how many things, like, could change, right? Like, what if they don't get along as well? What if they do get tired of each other? What if Steph gets worn down from how many minutes he's had to play? What if, you know, Klay Thompson has some sort of issue? You know, what if Steve Kerr's absence prolongs and they're not quite as good under Luke Walton? Like, all these things could happen. Like, what if Bogut gets hurt? Because everyone seems to forget, because of Draymond's amazing small ball stuff, how important Bogut was for their defense. Like, a lot of stuff could happen.
Yeah. Next team, the Houston Rockets, maybe a rival of the Golden State Warriors. Their over-under is 54.5.
I am buying this Rockets team. I am heavy, heavy, heavy. I got over 57 wins. I think they're going to be the 2 seed in the Western Conference.
I have them as tied for 3rd in the West at 55 wins. And it's something where I think they're much better this year. They look like they'll be healthier as long as Dwight can stick around. And it should – it's a situation where, like, you look at the roster, you look at the health, you look at how well they did last year, and you can kind of think, like, well, they should have way more wins than they did last year, right, with all those factors. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. Sometimes it is simply a matter of there are only so many wins that can go around in the NBA, and a team may look like they haven't actually improved in terms of record, and they actually are way better than they were last year. I think that's the case with the Rockets, where I'm picking them over. I've got them at 55, and I would be shocked if they were under the 54.5. So even though I'm slightly over, I think it's 100% that happens. And I think once we get to the playoffs, they're the team where maybe the regular season record doesn't show huge improvement or doesn't show a big step forward. But once we get into the playoffs, then you'll start seeing, like, man, this team's loaded and in much better position to make some noise.
One thing that's kind of perilous for my thought process here is that I'm like, well, they're not going to be injury ridden because they were last year. So clearly that won't happen again this year. And I'm like, that's not how injuries work.
Right.
That has nothing to do with it. What am I thinking? Like, no.
But
there's absolutely no correlation there.
Yeah, man. If you look at this team, though, they are just loaded.
There's so much depth. There's so much talent. There's so good of a system. There's so many – like, they can hit you in so many ways. Harden's so good.
Like, could you imagine if this team was in the East for some reason?
Oh.
I'd probably pick them for 63 wins.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that they're in the toughest division. Like, that's another factor with them. They're in the toughest division in basketball. They're in the tough conference. And it's just like, man, it's hard to get to 60 wins.
Los Angeles Clippers, 56.5.
I got them under.
Me too.
I got him at 55.
Me too.
Oh, okay. I wonder what our success rate was when we both agreed last year.
Pretty good, actually. This is anecdotal, but okay. Generally speaking, you and I hit on the same ones because we Like they were, some of them were fairly obvious.
Yeah. I like this team. I think they're in a great position once they get to the playoffs. I'm not convinced their bench is going to, you know, add a lot of wins to their last year, even though it's a more talented bench. You know, we didn't have the Chris Paul kind of hiatus or sabbatical last year. I think we're going to get that this year. I think that shaves a couple of wins, even though Blake Griffin can make up for most of that. And, you know, I've got them tied with the Rockets at 55 wins. I think they're another team that you get to the playoffs and it's just like, holy crap. Like, look at this team go.
They screw around too much.
That's fair.
That's my thing with them is they have too many nights where this team screws around and they don't put teams away early. They don't keep the pedal down. They'll check out if they're down. They're extremely well positioned for the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
You and I both picked them for the title last year. Like, I think they're awesome. I just can't trust them in the regular season. So yeah, I've got my 55 as well, and I feel pretty good about it. I just don't think that they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna hit 56. I think that they'll be 52 plus, but anywhere in there is acceptable. And they know they don't need home court, and Doc knows it's more important to get guys rest. And
yep, that's another very important thing is that they're like Doc has that perspective of the long haul, and that could cost them a couple of wins here and there.
This one's really interesting. Los Angeles Lakers, 29.5.
I think they're much more watchable. I think there's some real young talent on this team between Russell and Randall and Clarkson. I like the addition of Roy Hibbert. I hope Kobe's back and healthy. I think Brandon Bass is a fantastic addition for them.
I sense a butt.
But I just don't think they're good enough. No. I think the style of play is not great. And it's not even a three-pointer thing. I just don't think Byron Scott's a good coach. And I think there will be, I don't know, like the whole Kobe issue is an issue. Of how much does he factor into what they do on a nightly basis, and if he's not able to you know, be the effective guy they hope he is in order to sell jerseys and tickets and all that, how much does that detract from their game plan, you know? And how much do they adjust, you know, if he, like, let's say he's just not really that good anymore, and we're into mid-December, like, do they start going away from that? You know, like, I think that's an elephant in the room, and I don't think it's a knock on Kobe. I don't think it's necessarily a knock on the Lakers. It's just the situation they're in. I think it's awkward. I think it costs them games. I've got them at 27 wins, 2.5 under the over-under.
I like the over.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Knicks tape and Lake Show for you this year.
I'm confusing quite a few people. I'm zigging a little bit with the zag, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I have no idea what you're doing.
The Minnesota Timberwolves last year won, and we'll get to them in a second, but as an example, the Minnesota Timberwolves last year won 16 games in the Western Conference, despite Kevin Martin missing most of the season, Ricky Rubio missing most of the season, Nikola Pekovic missing most of the season. They were basically just playing the youngsters and letting them play around on a playground in a sandbox and accidentally finding 16 wins, right?
Right.
So let's take 16 wins. I got to get to 14 more for them to get the over. All right. They have a much better vibe this year in that they actually have NBA players that expect to win. That's much different than what they had last year. I'm going to give them 4 more wins based off of that. The young talent actually fits together and kind of knows what it's doing from the start. So I'm going to add on like another 3. So now we're at like 23 wins. Okay, so I only got to get like 7 more to hit the over here. And for me, it simply comes down to they have a formula that in theory can work because they have scorers and they have guys that can defend. The system doesn't do well in defending and the system is not built to score, but they have scorers and they have defenders. So between those two things, a lot of it is I'm like, you know, Lou Williams, Roy Hibbert, and if like, let's say they get 3 nights of Kobe, just 3. 3 nights where he peels it back, where he hops into the DeLorean and scoots on back. 3 nights. Just 3 wins. Like, now we're in really close territory. And I just think that they're going to have a very – I think this is silly, but I think they're going to have a really good vibe. I think that they're going to like playing together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that things will be really good when by mid-November Nick Young's not playing anymore. I think that the young guys, we talk about this, like young teams don't win. I'm only picking them for 31. But I do think that this team can win a couple of games. I think that especially, like, this team could trounce through the Eastern Conference. Part of it also is, like, the Lakers always wind up winning a lot of games at home because teams come through. It's like teams come through L.A. in the middle or at the end of a long road trip,
yeah,
and invariably have a night off the night before.
Shocker.
And, you know, that hangover effect is a big deal.
Yeah.
So I think that they'll be able to – and I think also that for the, really the first time, because this started in 2012 with that disaster team, teams still got up for them. And we're like, we want to destroy them. We want to absolutely humiliate them. In 2013, there was still, it was like, this is still the Lakers. I want to beat them. I love playing in LA. 2014, it started to change. And in 2015, it really was like these teams were a joke. But there's always that kind of like teams get up for them. I really think going into the season, the teams are going to be like, we can overlook them. And I think they have a team now that can bite you if you do that.
I think there is a real chance that this team lives at the free throw line.
Oh, man, Lou Williams.
But yeah, between Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, that could give them the extra couple of wins that I...
And Cody Pity calls.
Sure, for however long he's on the court. That could give them enough. That could give them the extra three wins that puts them over from my total or whatever I've got them at. Yeah, that could get them to 30. So I think it's a chance.
I have the Dallas Mavericks at 33 and the Los Angeles Lakers at 31. That's one of the things that's going to stick with me and give me night sweats until the regular season starts.
Absolutely.
Memphis Grizzlies, 50.5.
I think I only have them at 52, but I think it's an easy over. They'll probably win more than 52, but I think, like, I have no hesitation with that.
Under.
What?
50.
Okay, so you're not really, like, you're a little under.
I feel confident in saying they're not going to win 51 games.
Really?
Grizz fans are mad at me for this. They think this is like the stupidest thing in the world. Okay, so
I mean, I'm kind of with them.
All right, so and also it does not hold up when you actually start to examine this logic. I had this theory of like, oh, they always have a down year after a good year because they made the playoffs in 2011 and won a bunch of games and beat the Spurs, and that was like the start of the grit grind era. And then in 2012, I was like, they had kind of a down year and they lost to the Clippers. Well, they actually won a huge number of games that season,
mm-hmm.
and then they actually won even more the following season. So my entire theory falls apart. I more sense that one. Okay, so they spent their off season, their training camp rather, at P3 in Santa Barbara. Okay, yeah. And the big thing was they were learning about biometrics for health and how to stay healthy. And what do we know is the easiest way to keep guys healthy? Don't play. That
sure.
That tends to keep guys pretty healthy.
Okay.
I think that they rest Mike Conley more. I think they rest Zach Randolph more. I think they rest Marc Gasol more. I think that they don't catch as – they caught a lot of breaks last season. The Kings game, right? With the, you know, they did the Rockets dirty on one that Rockets fans never got over.
Yeah.
They had a lot of things that kind of went there. And then you have to factor in also their chemistry spoiled last season late. I mean, they were just sick of each other and just – it was not a great situation. Right now, Jaeger is talking about starting Conley, Courtney Lee, Jeff Green, Zebo, Gasol. You don't start Tony Allen, and he gets mad, and then there's tension, and then everyone gets upset, and then it starts out badly.
Well, that's the thing. As long as they win right away, Tony will buy in.
No.
I disagree. I think he will. I think
they did it last year. They were winning, and he was still mad.
I think I don't know. Like I don't.
I like Tony. I don't blame him because I think Tony's whole thing is like he's earned it. I think he's mad about how he's viewed in the league, and I don't blame him. But I also can't deny that like it's a problem when he doesn't start.
I don't think it will be. As long as they're winning, I don't think it will be.
So I'm gonna be safe and take the under. You know, if they surprise me, awesome because this team's a lot of fun. I want it to be as good for as long as possible. But especially with part of it's also like West got better.
It like, did.
The entire West got better.
Much
except Portland.
Much like we talked about in the other podcast, how the Hawks are just difficult to deal with on a night-to-night basis in the NBA. I feel the same about the Grizzlies. It's a different way, but it's, like, they're just a pain in the ass. Like, you don't want to face them on the third night of a 4-5 or on a back-to-back or whatever. Like, they just beat you up, and I think that wears on teams, and that gets teams to check out early. I think that's worth a couple extra wins.
I will predict that you have the Minnesota Timberwolves under.
Yeah, of course I do.
26.5.
They're not good. They're exciting. There's a lot of young talent. There's a lot of development possibility. They're not good, though.
They're not good.
Yeah. Like,
I feel like we really need to talk about it, because like, I wickermanned them, having them at 25 and then just ratcheting down. I've got them at 22 because I'm just like, somebody's got to suck in the West, and like, the Wolves have got to be one of the teams that's going to suck. Like, they just have to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be healthier this year, most likely just because, one, it's kind of hard not to be healthier than they were last year, and two...
Haven't we said that the last 4 years?
Yeah, but and two, they hired Arne Kander, who was the physical therapist from the Pistons for 23 years, and this dude is, like, just brilliant with this stuff.
Cool. That's good to hear.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I can't write about this, so I will talk about it in the podcast. My biggest concern with the Lakers is that Gary Vee is continuing to bring his scalpel every day. Like, I'm just...
also a concern. But Arne Kander is just, like, one of the best in the business with physical therapy. Awesome. And, like, Flip is, you know, for whatever you want to say, and, you know, we hope Flip is okay. Like, it doesn't sound great right now, but, like, we hope he's going to be able to just be fine, and I don't even care about coaching or right. being an executive anymore. Like, his health is the most important thing in this. But Flip, since he came back to the organization, has made a huge push towards making sure they are smart about the medical aspect of it. And for whatever you want to say about his coaching or about moves he's made, like, he is putting them in a position to at least, like, not have excuses when it comes to injuries. And part of that, and so I just think they'll be healthier because of that. They're still not very good, though. Like, the 16-win season is not indicative of their talent last year. Like, they were crazy injured, could barely put the minimum number of healthy guys on a roster on a nightly basis the second half of the season. And because of that, they sucked. And it's fine. Like, it's fine that they sucked. They ended up with the number one pick. Great sacrifice. I don't think they'll be as bad, but I still don't think... Like, I don't see how they're a 30-win team. I don't see... Like, 25 seems right. 22 to me sounds low on your respect, but I understand wickermanning them, and I just think, like I think around 25 is correct, so I'll go under.
The if test makes this an easy under.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're like, all right, if Zach LaVine can play point guard, and if Ricky Rubio stays healthy and can shoot, and if Andrew Wiggins is ready to really lead a team and be the best player, and if Karl-Anthony Towns can produce right away, and if Pekovic gets help, I mean, just down the list of the stuff that they need in order to succeed is massive, and they're all huge question marks. So yeah, I think the under is easy on the Minnesota.
And I think they're going to be really watchable. I think they're going to you're going to walk away going, damn, Andrew Wiggins is good. Damn, Shabazz Muhammad is good. Damn, Karl-Anthony Towns is good. And that's all you want. Like, all you want is to make sure, like, hey, these guys are legit moving forward. And then you keep developing, and in next season, that's when you start trying to make a push.
Give me the absolute pie-in-the-sky best-case scenario for this team.
32 wins is, like, the absolute cap. And that's, like, everything goes well. Rubio makes a jump, like, guys stay healthy. Wiggins is legit. Towns is legit. I still think it's only 32 wins.
Okay. Oklahoma City Thunder under new coach Billy Donovan at 57.5.
I'm all in.
Yeah, I thought you were...
I'm barely over just because 57.5 is a huge number. I have him at 58, but I'm just like, I'm in love with this team. I'm in love with Russell Westbrook. I'm in love with Kevin Durant. I'm in love with Serge Ibaka and Steven Adams and Anthony Morrow and Campaign as a backup point guard rookie, like, learning on the job kind of thing. Like, I don't feel great about Cantor and Deion Waiters, but I don't even care. Like, I love Mitch McGarry. I love Nick Collison.
Say it.
What do you want me to say?
Who's their backup point guard?
I'm okay with DJ Augustine as a backup point guard. I'm okay with it right now. You know, like, I just, this team, I think we forget. Like, we try to be too smart with this stuff, and, like, granted, you can still have questions about Durant's health, and, like, there's the contract situation looming and all that stuff, and I guess we can pretend that there could be a potential problem between him and Westbrook, but I don't know why we keep tricking ourselves into thinking this is a thing. But when this team is healthy and when this team is together, like, they're really hard to beat. Like, almost nobody beats them. And 58 wins, maybe even sounds low to me. But I'm going with 58. I think they're over. I think they're one of the best teams in the league.
I have the under.
Damn you. How dare you? How dare you let me write a love letter to them and then just try to hurt me?
I'll say this. They're either going to be under or they're going to hit 61 wins. That's kind of how I feel about them. Is they're either going to be this unstoppable juggernaut that just rolls through everybody, or they hit the under. I took the under for a couple of reasons. The Durant injury causes enough, like,
sure.
that changes everything with them, right? Like, yeah. We saw it last season. That takes them out of the playoffs. So that's like a variance that leans me towards going with an under total. I don't know what to make of Billy Donovan yet. And so I got to see it, and that uncertainty is another weighing factor there.
Yeah, I get that.
Durant's in a contract year, and there's at least the conversation about him leaving. It's at least on the table. He has not shied away from the fact that it's at least on the table. So I've seen that put the pressure on teams. I've seen that create weird locker room dynamics. I've seen that mess with teams. Like, teams have trouble when that stuff's going on. Now, Durant's not saying, I'm going to leave. He's not trying to pressure his way out. He's not demanding a trade. But it's enough to at least make me be like, you know, if the chemistry doesn't necessarily go right, when guys aren't happy, they don't play well. And there have been weird locker room stuff over the last couple of years. It hasn't been Westbrook and Durant, but like the Reggie Jackson clash. Like, why are you feuding with Reggie Jackson, the backup point guard? Like, why is he such a problem? And then, like, just generally speaking, like, I just feel like there's a they've been together a long time as part of it. Like, they've just been together a long time. And that makes me nervous because I've seen too many teams that were good for so long, and all of a sudden it gets to a point where it's just like, this is over.
That's fair.
I'm out. So it's not that I think that Kevin Durant's not good or Russell Westbrook's not good. This to me,
it's a high number.
This to me, roster wise, is the best team that they've had. This is their chance.
Like, yes.
This is, as good as the West is, to me, this is their chance. This is their best shot at winning a title, and they got to do it this year. But I also don't necessarily know if, like, I think they could hit the under and still win the title.
Sure.
So
oh, absolutely.
This would them.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the under.
It's a huge number. I have two things for you on this. One, there is no Kendrick Perkins on this team.
True.
So,
but he was a good thing. They loved him.
That's got to be worth 8 wins right there.
Well, maybe. But then you think, like, he made them happy. Like, they liked having him around. And then on the other hand, you have Enes Kanter. Not a real popular dude with teammates.
Two. Here's my juxtaposition. In 2009-2010, the year before LeBron James left Cleveland, the only team he had never known, as he entered his big free agency year, the Cleveland Cavaliers won 61 games.
Mm.
You said they're either going to go under or hit 61 games.
Hmm.
How about that?
Good point.
61 wins. Now I'm going 60. No, I'm not going 61. But 58 wins, I feel pretty good about the over.
I would tell people to not go anywhere near that line.
Oh, you know, I would stay way away from it.
Don't even go anywhere. It's too high. There's too much variance. The Durant thing. Like, don't go anywhere near it. But, you know, I can see both sides of it. The poor, poor Phoenix Suns.
Oh, wait. We skipped somebody.
Who do you think?
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, that's right. I apologize, New Orleans. I love you. I got you wrapped up in with the other new team, the New York. So they're at 47.5, but that was a high total for me.
They won, what, 45 games last year?
Yeah.
You know, it's how much does Alvin Gentry change for them? I think a lot. How, you know, but then it's, you know, is Drew Holiday even something they can rely on? Is Tyreek Evans going to play as well as he did last year? What about Eric Gordon? I'm still in. Like, I have them barely over. I have them at 48 wins, but I think they're absolutely a playoff team. I think that there will be a little bit of an adjustment period, but this could be a team where second half of the season they just kill.
I took the over because it just depresses me too much for them to get hurt again. I just can't. I just can't. I can't deal with how depressing that is. So I took the over. Gentry makes them better, and I won't go as far as James Herbert did in our Elite 100 rankings, which will come out next week. Spoiler, or foreshadowing rather. But
it's a foreshadowing spoiler.
Yeah, but I do think that Anthony Davis is going to be a top 3 player in the league this season.
He's quite good.
One of the 3 best players in basketball, and you know, if they stay healthy. which, like, Tyreek got banged up the other night, and Jinka's out like 4 weeks, and I'm just like, of course.
Drew's limited to what, 10 minutes game or something like that?
But hey, we'll see how it goes. I'll go ahead and trust, like, don't go anywhere near this. You can't trust the training staff. Like, you know, if you're going to go with it, I would tell you to go with the under. We both have the over. I think I'm just based off of, like, I want to believe. Like,
yeah, right.
I want to believe in happy things.
Like, we got a brief glimpse at Anthony Davis in the playoffs, and it's like, oh, yeah, I want to see that again.
Yeah. All right, so...
Phoenix Suns.
36.5.
They were a Wicker Man team for me. I just kept cutting from them, and I've got them over. I've got them at 38 wins. I'm kind of I don't know how I don't have them as at least a 500 team, but for whatever reason, I just took wins away, and so I feel good about the over. Things would really have to fall apart, which, you know, it's possible with everything that's gone on the last year. It's very possible things could just completely fall apart, but I feel good enough about the talent on this team where the over on this should be pretty easy.
Good news. I have them at the over. Bad news. They still miss the playoffs. I have them at 42 wins. I think they will go over 500.
That's probably smarter than what I do.
I think TJ Warren is going to surprise a lot of people.
He's good.
I think
Archie Goodwin's really good.
They have a lot of versatility. Like, yeah. they have a lot of things they can throw at you. I mean, they can, if you go big, they can counter with Alex Len and Tyson Chandler. They have so much athleticism with Knight and Bledsoe. They've got smart guys like PJ Tucker on the floor. They've got they have a lot of ways that they can hit you. And the odds are that Donaghy's going to get what's his name? Not Donaghy.
Hornacek? Donahue.
Donahue. I apologize. Is that right?
No, McDonough.
McDonough. We cover the NBA for a living, and I confused him with the referee that bet on gambling. So.
Ryan McDonough.
I think McDonough is going to get good return on Markieff. So I think this is a really soft 36.5. Like, even as much as I've been the one that's written constantly about, like, this team could blow up at any moment, I also feel like they could blow up, and then there's so much talent left over, they could still wind up hitting 40 wins.
Yeah, I mean, they could be one of those teams that just, like, kind of turns the keys over to the young guys at the end of the season and still wins.
Yeah,
I feel like we're not going to see a Hawks season, but like the way we felt really confident about the Hawks over last year, I feel this way about the Suns.
Blazers fans aren't necessarily as mad at me after seeing their team in preseason last night. They not as mad about me having them 30th in power rankings. Their over-under on the season is 26.5, which I believe is the second lowest behind the Sixers.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Timberwolves also 26.5.
Yeah.
Oh, Nuggets 26.5. So they're tied for second.
Yeah.
I think Lillard's going to be great. I like the way they've started already, kind of transitioning to the next phase with the moves they made this summer. I think Terry Stotts is a very good coach, but, man, they're just going to be so outgunned so many nights, and I don't think the defense is going to be anything you can rely on in the first few months, if at all, this season. I've got them under. I feel good about the under. I have them for 23.
You can guess mine.
Okay, well, based on that reaction, you're either over, but I know you were 30th in power ranking, so that's probably not true, or you're quite under. Man, what did you have Philly at? Like 25?
Yeah.
So you, and all right, you got to be under me at 23. I'm going to go 19.
17 wins.
Ooh, that's low.
I think that...
The funny is, we talked about this, where like the Sixers always try to be the worst team, and they're never the worst team, and yet I still ended up with them having the lowest record in this whole exercise, but you're, you know, that's a gamble by you that's actually probably pretty smart.
Yeah, I mean, I got the under. Like, I feel like the under is pretty safe. I don't like picking them for 17 wins. I want to make this clear. Like, I think Terry Stotts is a really good coach. I like Damian Lillard. I think that he's an upstanding dude and a leader. I think that it was his defense last year was a product of not understanding the league and having to adapt to how teams ran things at him. I like Alfred Camino. I like Gerald Henderson. I like Noah Vonleh. I actually like Plumlee to a certain degree. I like CJ McCollum, and I like Myers Leonard, but I don't like how this team fits together. I don't think that they're going to be – I can't look at them and say, what are they going to be good at? Somebody said rebounding, and I was like, that's nice. Like, it's hard to rebound when they can still score, when they make the basket.
Right.
I just don't know what they're going to be good at, and I think it's going to be really frustrating, and I think at the end of it they'll wind up tanking to get the kind of talent that they need, and I think that Damian is probably going to get shut down pretty early for those purposes. Like, oh, he's got a hamstring, he's out, and they wind up with 17 wins. Now, that's just a scenario. I don't feel good about I don't feel good about picking any team for under 20 this year. I really don't. I wicker man them to a certain degree trying to clear some room. You could talk me into 25. I don't think I could go for the over, but you could talk me into the 25. Some people that have mentioned that they're going to be in contention for the 8 seed are just stoned.
That's crazy.
But I don't, again, I don't like it. I like Portland a lot as a city and as a team and an organization and coaching and everything. I just don't see it with this team. I think they're going to be really bad.
Yeah. Well, boy. Sacramento Kings are next.
We're talking about the Kings again.
32 is their over-under. I feel good about the over. I feel very good.
I think it's really easy, too.
Yeah, I have them at 35. Like, they've won, like, what, 28, 29, and 29 games, or 28, 28, and 29 the last 3 years. They have not, you know, whatever, like, not, no offense to Mike Malone, but they have a real coach that they believe in and that they get along with, allegedly, at least philosophically. As long as he and DeMarcus Cousins get along, that's all that matters.
And they, Rondo.
Yeah, they, well, even then, I think it's expendable because Darren Collison. I think they have weird depth. They have weird talent on the roster. It's a weird mix of players. But even then, like, for them to be under 32 wins, I think the only way that happens is if, like, DeMarcus Cousins gets hurt.
I was seeing correlations between teams East-West, like the comparisons.
Yeah.
I feel like the Kings are Pistons West.
Yeah, I like that.
I actually have them for the same number of wins. I have the Sacramento Kings at 38 wins this season.
Okay, 35 and 38, like over under 32. I feel very confident that they'll be over.
Yeah, and like they'll miss the playoffs by like 6 games, which really isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Like if the team that gets out is only 42 or 43, it's only 5. Like, that's really good.
Considering where they've been the last 3 years, like, yeah, that's a great step forward. All you want to see is a step forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an easy one. San Antonio Spurs have a crazy-ass number at 58.
I don't like it. I'm under. Under by 4 games. I have 54 wins. You know, I think there's going to be a little bit of an oddity with leaning on LaMarcus Aldridge so much. If Kawhi's healthy, it's a little thing about Kawhi. He's actually missed a lot of games the last 3 years.
That's a good point.
I don't think he's played over 70 in any of the last 3 seasons. Let me double check that real quick, but I think that is accurate. He has played 64 games last year, 66 the year before, 58 the year before that. Some of that's rest with what the Spurs do. Some of that's been injury. But I don't know that you can rely on him to be healthy during the regular season. I think he'll be fine once they get to the playoffs. I'm concerned about Tony Parker. I'm concerned about Manu Ginobili. And I think their lack of depth and their potential like downfall with those two in the backcourt is enough to shave off a few wins where I feel pretty good about the under.
I've got him at 56 just because I don't see any scenario in which a Greg Popovich team with good talent wins less than 55 games.
Sure, that's fair.
But yeah, I like the under pretty heavy here. I can see a situation in which they really struggle the month of November, and then by January they start really killing it and have a great March. That's like they rip through everybody, and it's like, oh, the Spurs peaking at the right time, and they have a good point. Like, they're going to be good. I've said from the beginning, like, this isn't going to be easy. This transition is not going to be simple for them.
Yeah, and it's another one of those teams of like regular season doesn't blow you away, and then they're, you know, maybe the best title contender when it comes down to the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And finally, the Utah Jazz.
Oh, baby, the Utah Jazz. 42 wins for an over-under. I have them as my 8 seed with 44 wins, and I feel very good about the over.
We are in the exact same space.
Okay.
We agree a lot on the West. Yeah, I have them for 44. 44 8 seed. Yeah, I just... I think, you know, I feel even better about it after seeing them in preseason because I'm like, oh, they got a point guard. I just think they're going to be good. I think they're a good team. I think they will win. They'll win games. Rudy Gobert is awesome. Their defense is going to be good. And, like, you know, the Western Conference
is tough. Quinn Snyder's a very good coach.
Yeah, they've got coaching. They have a scoring guy they can rely on, and Gordon Hayward, that people don't realize how good he was.
And he's, a very good crunch time guy.
Yeah, he's a really good crunch time guy. They've got Derek Favors. They've got Trevor Booker who can contribute. They have a lot. They've got depth.
Yeah, they got the rim protector with Gobert. They play the
softest division.
Yep, Alec Burks comes back.
In the West.
Yeah, they've got, the point guard is still an issue. Because of, Exum's injury, Burke's struggles, and then we like Raluzinho.
Raluzinho.
We like him, but you don't know that he's actually a starting point guard in the NBA, right? And he's still
pretty... Oh, I do. I've watched him in one preseason game.
Sure. You're sold. He's young. He's like 23 years old. But I feel good enough about him, and Gordon Hayward will do the most of the playmaking anyway. I feel very good about this season for them.
I have a Gordon Hayward stat for you.
Okay.
I pulled up on basketballreference.com, which you should all use if you have not heard for some reason. I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast if you have, but still. All right. Amongst players averaging 20 minutes per game last season, this is in points per 100 possessions. So the big knock on Hayward is his log is raw box score stats. A part of it was pace with the Jazz is kind of a thing.
Yeah.
This is a list of for playing 20 minutes a game, scoring for a guard forward, a forward, or a forward guard. So basically a wing in the NBA last season. Kevin Durant for only 27 games, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, that's five. Shabazz Muhammad, there's your guy at six.
He can produce.
Rudy Gay at seven. Gordon Hayward at eight. Hayward was ahead of Dirk, Derek Favors, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Nikola Mirotic, Paul Millsap, all these guys in scoring per game. And he did it in an efficient manner. He shot 50% from the field and 40% from that was somebody else. But he did 45% from the field and 36% from three, which is still really efficient.
Really efficient. We had that whole like little couple weeks where people like freaked out about him being a max player because he was coming off the rookie deal and signed an offer sheet and Utah matched it. And it was like, why would you do that for Gordon Hayward? How much of a no-brainer is that contract look now with the salary cap jump?
I know, right?
Like, it's one of the, it'll end up being one of the best non-rookie deals in basketball. Like, he's just that good.
And I was kind of against it at the time. I was wrong. By the way, I just want to mention this. Do you realize Blake Griffin shot 50-40 last year?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't take many threes.
But still.
Dan Wiecke is convinced that Blake Griffin is going to become a three-point shooter at some point.
Everyone's going to be a three-point shooter, Zach.
I'm still not buying it, but...
Omer Asik, I tell you, he's been working on three-pointers.
Yeah, all he has to do is remove those hooks for hands and put real hands on there, and he'll be a three-point shooter. Blake Griffin, skilled. Skilled big man. I feel confident in taking the over on that.
Okay, so how many do we feel good about on this West list? Like, how many?
That we would, not tell people to stay away from?
Yeah.
I feel good about the Rockets. I feel good about the Spurs under. I feel good about the Grizzlies over. I feel good about the Jazz over. I feel good about the Suns over, the Kings over. I feel good about the Mavs under, even though we're telling people to stay away. I feel good about the Nuggets over. I feel good about the Blazers and Wolves under.
I feel pretty good. I feel good about the Mavericks under, the Nuggets over, the Warriors. No, I don't feel good about the Warriors.
Yeah, that one's like... just right on the border of perfect.
I like the Lakers over quite a bit. See, I think it's tough for me. I like the Blazers under, the Kings over, and that's it.
Yeah,
I'm not as confident because I'm just like I feel like there's so many ways because what could happen this season, and like with Utah, I'm like, Hayward misses any time, and they're not going to be able to score at all. Like they're just going to be terrible offensively.
That's true.
And even outside of injuries, if the defense slips to any noticeable degree because of the number of new personnel that they brought in, that could be a real problem for them because they really need to be good defensively. You know, Portland, it's like, all right, well, CJ McCollum steps up and Myers Leonard turns into a legit stretch four. Well, all right, now all of a sudden this team has something to worry about. Like, I could see them getting the over there. You know, Oklahoma City, we talked about, like, all the concerns there. Phoenix could blow up or blow up in a good way. Memphis, it feels weird to say they're going to win only 50 games when they've been so consistent year over year. And they did add Brandon Wright. Although losing Kupas hurts. And
yeah, Kupas maybe was the back. I think he was the best backup center in the league last year.
Yeah, I think it was by a pretty wide margin. He was really good. You know, in Houston, it's like Dwight's got back surgery and whether they don't mesh. And, you know, Mikhail had a really good year last year. Going to do it again. It's tough.
Yeah.
The Western Conference is tough. That's the big takeaway.
We figured that out this episode. If you haven't listened to the East Over-Unders, that is available in your feeds and iTunes and all that crap and on the website on CBSSports.com. We're going to have posts all about this stuff throughout the next couple of weeks. Preseason is in effect. We're like 3 weeks away from the regular season.
Yeah, three weeks exactly from when we're recording.
Basketball coming, man.
I'm so excited. Thanks, Zach.